and pray together, that's a good place to start. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you. We give you glory, Father, and we remember that your Holy Spirit is here with us as born again child of the King of Kings. And we thank you that he lives in each one of us. And I pray, Father, by the Spirit of God, that you would reveal to us things that we need to know about what we need to do. We ask you, Father, as we evaluate our lives and look at ourselves in light of your word, as we look into the scriptures, we see ourselves and we see what you want to do. We thank you as we yield ourselves, or at least give ourselves to you, submit to you. We give you our minds today. We submit to your word. We submit to the Spirit of God. And we say, Father, may your will be done in our lives. So we pray this prayer of consecration and dedication, submission to you tonight. We say, Father, may your will be done in our lives. And we pray, Father, to consecrate our lives. Whatever you want us to do, whatever you want us to know, whatever assignment you have for us, that we will do those things that you've called us to do. We will not shun away. We will not be afraid of what man says or what anybody says or any circumstances that might come our way to try to get us off track. Maybe it could be a great problem in our lives, an emotional disturbance. Maybe it could be sickness or disease, or it could be a famine. It could be different kinds of things that we have in our families, maybe disturbances in our homes. Father, but we honor you. We pray in the name of Jesus that we will do those things that you said to do. That, Father, we not live by circumstances, but we'll live by the word of God. We thank you that the word will go out strongly today. I pray that I yield myself to you, Lord, that let me be the pen of a ready writer, writing on the tablets of men's hearts what you want us to know, what you want them to know. We pray in the name of Jesus that let my teaching and preaching tonight not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Shake this place up. Shake everything that can be shaken out of us, Father, in our minds and hearts, and help us to be those people that you've called us to be. And Father, we pray for this whole time that we're together, this whole next number of services till Sunday night. We pray for every person that gets up and says something. May they be anointed by the power of God. I pray that every word that they're speaking, Father God, may be an oracle of God to build up the people to do the things that they're called to do. We pray that those people that have not discovered their assignment, they will know that they're just not looking for a donkey, but they're looking for the call of God. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated. Well, I get to stand up longer than you. Some of you are just about to sit down. Sometimes Sunday morning, we get to stand with you all through the service. Then we get to stand and preach for an hour or so. And then we preach, stand for another few more minutes to pray for people. Then you stand around and shake hands. And then you stand in line for a hot dog, whatever. But anyways, you can stand for at least a few minutes. Glory to God. I'm just expecting God to do great things in our lives. And, you know, every time we get together, you know, years ago, and the Lord began to call me, and as I began to yield myself to the Lord, he said, let every service be an encounter with me. Let every service be a supernatural encounter with me. And I believe that it'll happen to you. Praise God. I believe if you're expecting God to say something to you, I believe if you're saying, you know, Lord, change me. But if you're going to be stubborn, as you've always have been, if that's you, you'll still be stubborn as you leave here. You know, you could be in the service, any service, and leave unchanged. And, you know, have some effects of the Spirit, but not really change anything much. But I believe if you really give yourself to God, you will indeed change. Because God is not into forcing anybody to change. We have to begin to say, God, change me. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll stay where you want me to stay. because sometimes people want to run off and do something different. But God wants you to do what He wants you to do, not what your mother wants you to do or your dad wants you to do. Some people are running somebody else's race when we're supposed to run our own race. Praise God. Amen. Are you sure you're running your own race? Well, hopefully we'll have to throw off every weight and everything that would cause us to run slow. I want to thank God for all those people that are watching online. If you're watching online, and now some of you have asked me if this service is going to be online. If you're not watching, shame on you, because you've asked me the question, and I said, yeah, we're gonna have this online, or at least live stream, but it's better to come. I know each night is going to build on each other. Every service that you come to will build up, you know, and it'll get stronger and stronger as the days go by. And I believe that, we go to a lot of services. Sometimes we go to Rhema. We sit through a lot of services for 5 days. And then you get built up. God's word will do what it's going to do in your life, what it's supposed to do, what it's designed to do. Nothing will stop it. If you'll just listen to the word, let it be planted deeply into your heart, and it'll change your life forever. Praise God. Amen. Say the Lord. Say, everybody lift your hands. Say, God, change me. Change my life tonight with the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, as you can tell, our theme is harvest time. And this whole week is going to be about harvest, whatever God leads in those areas. That's the area of topic that we're going to talk about. Tonight, the message that I'm going to teach is about called the Lord of the Harvest, and or time of harvest. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but it's harvest time, and we're going to call it time of harvest. But we want to look at what the Lord of the Harvest is saying. If we look at our text tonight, John chapter 4, verse 35, if you do have your Bibles with you. And I'll try to be very careful with my time, because some of you have to get up wee early in the morning. And thank God for sleep. Sometimes I've come to preach, stayed up all night for whatever reason, and maybe stayed up for 2 hours and preached a message and leave and go for a trip somewhere. I've done that many times over the years. And thank God for His grace. I just want you to pray for me. I don't ask you to pray for me too many times, but I've been asked to do a funeral on Friday morning, so I'll leave here early Friday morning. I travel to another city, a small, small city, a little town. So I'm going to be traveling to my home community, a young lady who's taken her own life, has left this world, and the family asked me to the minister at that funeral. I said, well, this call, there's maybe other people there in the community that are ministers. You call them. And they said, no, they want you to call. And so I couldn't get out of it. I tried delay 24 hours. Give me 24 hours. Give me another hour. But the Lord spoke to me and said, you go. And so that's why I'm going. It's it's my conference time, and the Lord calls, so I go. I drive there for 3 hours one way and do a service and come back, do the service and come back for Friday night for my Spirit Alive evening. It's going to be a long day, praise God, amen? So I want to go to sleep right after this service for 24 hours and get ready for the next time. Hallelujah. Everyone lift their hands and say, thank God that He is alive in me. Amen, praise God. All right, John chapter 4. Did you find John chapter 4? In verse 35, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's saying, say not ye, there are 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white to harvest. I like that poster we had on our screens earlier about wheat representing people, and that's what Jesus is talking about. This idea I have tonight in this service to tell you, and that is, you can't expect a harvest. Now, I'm talking mainly to our people, and if you want to be invited to hear the same message, and that is that you cannot harvest a crop where you have never sowed any seed. That is a law, a spiritual law that God has given, or even a natural law. And so you cannot harvest or expect to harvest where you haven't sowed seed. And so as an introduction, I want to say this. It's ridiculous to think that you can get a harvest where you have never planted any seed. Harvest is the investment you put into planting for any kind of crop. A farmer knows, or a farmer who says, I wonder why I don't have any crops this year, if he didn't plant anything in the fields. You would be just as ridiculous as the farmer who didn't plant seed if you hadn't put any efforts in sowing seeds of the Word of God into your own life or acting on the Word of God on any area in your life. And you must examine yourself fully and ask yourself this question, because, you know, the Bible calls the Word of God like a mirror. The Word, you know, James says the Word of God is a mirror. We look into it, we see ourselves exactly the way God says, and then we go away, forget who we are. Sometimes that's what it is. So we as a church body, not just Faith City Church, but many churches, or even collectively all over the world corporately, that we need to plant seeds of faith out there within the communities that we're living. And if you're watching by television or wherever you are, you're responsible for sowing seeds wherever you are, taking responsibility there. And so if we expect a harvest of souls into the kingdom of God, there must be a sowing of seed anywhere. And I'm going to talk to every one of you individually about the seeds that you're sowing wherever you are, what you're doing. We need to get moving individually and corporately as far as sowing seeds of the message of salvation. You know, we're going to talk about harvesting. We're going to talk about harvest. And there are going to be a multitude of messages coming your way along that line. But I want to stick to what God spoke to me. And he spoke to me about this several months ago. And I've been talking about it to the Lord, asking him a lot of questions about the harvest in our city right here. And why churches are not growing as the way we should think of all the churches that I know. A lot of the evangelical churches that I know aren't really growing anything. A lot of churches that are actually growing aren't really growing from harvesting. They're just growing from transfer growth. A lot of the churches that are actually existing, they're just traveling from one church to another. A bunch of people leave one church, go to another church. And it's really not really the kind of growth that we want. And while that's happening, the church is getting smaller. And I begin to examine the church status in our city. And I looked at, I looked at some, just in one area, for instance, I looked at the evangelical churches, how many churches there are. Then I looked from that and cut it down a little bit. I look at, okay, what are the charismatic churches, or what we call the Pentecostal tongue talk churches? This is a very small bunch of people. You could actually put them in one room, maybe. Well, not really. Then you cut that off and say, okay, about the faith churches? Well, you might put those in one room. And so you look at that, the church body isn't really as big as we think it is. And you see different people criticizing local churches and pastors and just getting dwindling away and different things. Christians fighting amongst each other, even on Facebook, and saying negative things about different things. And no wonder no one thinks about too much about it. I'm not participating in that. And I hope you're not. So we need to get moving individually and corporately in getting the message of salvation. So let's sow seeds that will bring people into the kingdom of God. Let's be careful how we, prepare ourselves for that venture. Let's go here and read John again, John 4 and 34, 38, New Living Translation. I'm going to read from. Jesus explained, he said, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me, and from finishing his work. He was concerned of being fed what God wanted him to be fed on. I think we all need to be careful about being fed the right nourishment, spiritually speaking. We cannot be spiritual people just being being watching television and just watching sports and going to the casino and just watching the Maple Leafs lose every year. We certainly can't be filled that way. Nor the Blue Jays. I've gone to lots of their games and they've lost a lot. So I'm going to change my tune a little bit here. You know the saying, Jesus says, 4 months between planting and harvest. That's what he said, you know. There's a process. He said, but I say to you, wake up. Look around. The fields are already in ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants, another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. You know, I thought about this, you know, a lot, that people who, sometimes we go to somebody, we share the gospel, and it was so easy, you got them saved, just snap your finger, they say, okay, I'll pray, and I'll receive Jesus, and they go around, but you know, understand this, there's somebody else planted some seeds before you got there. Because I remember years and years, people kept planting seeds in me and asking me about getting born again. I laughed at everyone. I thought it was so ridiculous when someone told me about getting saved. I said, I'm already saved. I belong to the church. I've been in church all my life. I don't remember a time when I never went to church. And at 24 years of age, I heard the message of the gospel for the first time, even though I was in church every week for most of my life. I was a kid. And then I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. When I saw preachers on television, and I used to laugh at Huntley Street and 700 Club and all these guys on television, I would laugh at them because they'd cry about different things, you know, and I'd laugh. And I'm sure other people are laughing at me today on television, and it seems ridiculous. I said, that's foolish. To be saved, you mean to believe on somebody that I can be saved watching somebody on, Jesus on the cross and he's dying for the world and so on. I just couldn't understand it. But one day, all of a sudden, for the first time, I heard the message of Jesus Christ. Someone came to my office downtown. I was working downtown in the office and said, are you born again? You'd like to be saved? For the first time, someone ever came up to me and told me bluntly, am I born again? Do you want to be saved? I said, sure, I want to be saved. Would you like to pray? I thought he meant after work or something. He said, pray right here. I said, here, everybody's looking at me. So I said, okay, I prayed the prayer, but I remembered that I already prayed just a few weeks earlier with Billy Graham on television. But God sent another person just to show me that I shouldn't be ashamed of my salvation. And I got born again. So Jesus said, don't say there's 4 months. He said, look out in the field. It's already ready for harvesting. And what is he saying? Well, Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel in Matthew 28. That's the last, what you call the Great Commission. Regarding, you know, that whole work. He said, we got to get mobilized. We need to be trained, and we need to be ready to harvest the ones that are waiting for this message that you have in your hearts right now. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The president of Rhema Bible Training College, where we went to school, prophesied during one Rhema event about Rhema graduates going throughout the whole world. When the Lord appeared to him and he had a message, he said, you'll be part of the last days ministries when they'll be sending out these folks. He said, you know, he had a message, and he said, when he prophesied, he said, people are hungry. Their hungry hearts waiting to hear the good news that you have. How many of you have good news? Jesus said to his disciples that people are waiting to hear the message of salvation. And I don't know how to get this across to you. Maybe you're here, you heard this many, many times before, but maybe you'll hear it for the very first time in your heart. Because you could hear this many, many times and not get it. That's why Jesus said, let him who hears, you know, listen. Because you could hear it so many times and yet never get the message. Everybody say, sleepy church. Is there anybody sleepy out there tonight? I mean, we just kind of have a nice ambiance here tonight, and you know, it's conference time, so we just kind of just let everything, let everybody relax a little bit, and then we're gonna throw off, start crawling the walls here. The church at large is asleep. I said the church at large is asleep, in the city. I look everywhere, and I don't see. I don't see a whole lot going on except, you know, regular activities. And, you know, I don't see any big cameras going on. There's big healing revival busting out and people getting filled with the Spirit and people giving up money and helping with the message. Many people are ignorant of the fact that Jesus paid a heavy price for their salvation or salvation of humanity. They seem to be so indifferent. Like casually, like, you know, Jesus died for everybody, so, you know, let's go get some coke here. You know, the fact that many are headed to the grave without hearing the salvation message. At least one time, somebody said, at least, we need to have at least, you know, why should someone hear the message 25 times and someone never heard it one time? Paul talks about the church is pacified in the comforts of life and nonchalantly going through, you know, their daily affairs, not giving the gospel any time. Now, he said this. I say that because he said this many, many times to the church. And maybe here, Ephesians 5:14. Did we just close up our Bible, leave here, and just forget about everything? When we should be aware that someone out there needs to know what you know about Jesus. Ephesians 5:14, King James says, wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. He's talking to Christian believers. Some people are dead spiritually in the sense that they don't give God any chance to work through their lives. That's why they said dead churches. You ever heard the term dead churches? You know, there's no such thing as dead churches spiritually speaking, but spiritually, you know, in a practical sense, people are dead because they don't say anything about their faith. They don't do anything other than have a church service. They don't ring the dinner bell like they said in the 50s when they had healing revivals. They said healing, the miracles of healing, is the dinner bell that brings people to Christ. And we need to ring that dinner bell. Proverbs 10, 4 and 5 says, lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. If you want to get rich like Ed Wesley, you gotta work hard like Maxine. She brought a big part of food to us the other day. Thank God for that food. I ate it for, I don't know how many meals I had out of it. I ate more than most people. And so, you know, we need to learn to be diligent. Amen. Get cracking doing the gospel in some fashion. Lazy people soon get poor, and hard workers get rich. And people don't like that word rich because that's in the Bible right here. It says people actually do get rich. Look at it. You know? So a wise youth harvest in summer. You know, if somebody knows that, you know, when it's time to harvest, you need to get cracking. But the one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. Now, the Bible says here in Proverbs that, you know, there are some people are asleep during harvest season. I'm talking about the gospel. I'm talking about the time when you're supposed to be planting seed financially somewhere. You're asleep and you haven't really done your job. Amen. To put aside part of your finances to help Jesus Christ get the gospel out there somewhere. We all have that responsibility. Not just a few people. I know because I've been in ministry for almost like just about 30 years, and I know people, some people never give. But they expect from me in the church or wherever they go, they expect something, and they're wondering why they're not getting anywhere. So hard work will make you rich in whatever he's taking you now. Some are lazy to help, having all kinds of great excuses while other people are suffering around them. They don't really believe the salvation message will help them. It's a real disgrace how you can stand aside and let somebody suffer, in darkness and not want to serve, the message somehow and get out there and serve people. Why is it that some people just kind of, they got born again, but they're kind of wandering aimlessly around, not really getting what they're supposed to be getting, even getting the nourishment they need to be strong spiritually. Always wanting somebody else to pray for them, always wanting for somebody to give them an answer, what God wants me to do with my life and so on. But, if we stand or sit under good anointed teaching, we're going to find a message. Some people like to go to some places where they don't have to require nothing of them. Nobody challenges those kinds of folks. Jesus said, bye. Now, Romans 13:11 says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep. And now is our salvation nearer than we believe. No, he's saying it's time that the church wakes up to this harvest season. Everyone is always waiting that one day they're going to get a harvest, but now is the time that we need to do something about it. Start harvesting. It's time to wake up, church. What are we going to do? What are we supposed to do? What will you do? And what are you willing to do? And are you being prepared for that season when you're supposed to get out there and do something for the message of Jesus Christ? Now, there's some work that needs to be done in our lives. There's planting time. There's watering time. There's weeding time. There's the harvest season. And we need to understand what process we should be in and what work that needs to be done. The work, the ministry is work, and we're all supposed to be involved in it to some degree. We are to be trained to serve to get out this gospel message out there. Paul said, we ministers are to equip his people for the works of service. Ephesians 4:12, NIV says. That we ministers are to equip his people for works of service. And then I have done whatever I had to do as a pastor. I put Bible school on. I've done leadership sessions. I do three services, we do services every week. We have prayer services going. I meet with the leaders. We travel on different things. We do television. We do all kinds of stuff, trying to train people and calling people to get out there so that the message of the gospel can go out. And so there's some people that just wouldn't get involved in it. And we need everybody's help to get the message out. The body needs to be built up. The King James or the King James Version calls it the work of ministry. NET Bible says that it's work of ministry. Same thing. The New Living says do his work. We're trained to do his work. And so, Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29, the King James. Now, listen very carefully. Let's see if you don't have a Bible, you can just follow us here. Jesus is talking, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. Now, when he's saying that, he's comparing spiritual truth of God's kingdom with natural truth. How many of you understand this? Natural truth mirrors spiritual reality. You know, even the philosophers, when I went to school there, studied different philosophy classes, and they talked about this whole mirror thing, whatever is here in the natural is somewhere out there in the land of God. If you can think that there is a God, then God must exist, the philosopher says. Just the fact that you can actually think about God, that there might be a God, then there should be a God. If you start thinking like that, you get crazy. You know, if you're a philosopher. And so, anyway, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The kingdom of God is all about sowing seed and doing something, sowing and giving and doing something. The kingdom of God, that's how the kingdom of God works. Everything that you are, everything you have is about giving and sowing and working and seeing and reaping a harvest. Are you getting this? This is Jesus talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about harvesting in these last days. Whether you're giving money or working in the ministry, harvesting. We're going to harvest. And should sleep and rise night and day, and should the seed should spring forth and grow up, and he knoweth not how. We don't have to know how. If you give your offering, or if you bring your tithe or offering, you don't have to actually know how it actually works for it to work. Amen. The word works, whether you understand the whole process yourself, God only wants your obedience. Amen. Why do you have to understand how a plane could actually travel in the sky for you to get on it? You just get on it. You just saw that, you just get on it. You just say, well, I want to know, first of all, how this thing works. But you, by faith, get on it and you're in the air. How many people know that right now there's all kinds of messages going through this air right now? You don't know, but it's going through the air. You can't see it. There's different kind of things going on in the atmosphere right now. Electricity is going through. Our cell phones are working, and it's working right now. See, I'm not plugged into anything, but it's working. But in the spirit world, it's the same thing. There's a spirit world, and many people have seen the spirit world and have gone out into the spirit world. I have gone out into the spirit world. I know it exists. When my mom told me about her experience going to heaven, and the Lord talking to her, and she said, you have to go. And I've heard many people say the same thing. And she came back to her inside of her body. And she said, I never felt more disappointed than ever coming back to my body because, what I experienced, I didn't want to come back here. Well, I had the same experience when I came back. I didn't want to come back to this world. It's so wonderful in that other atmosphere. Hallelujah. And should sleep night and day. He's talking about sowing seed and should spring forth and grow up. And he knows not how it works. For the earth brings forth, brings forth fruit of herself. It doesn't need any of your help. If you sow seed, it's going to bring forth. It doesn't need you to look at it every day to see if it's doing well. It's just going to do what it's supposed to do. And there's the principle here, that's what we're talking about. First the blade, then the ear, then after the full corn of ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it forth. He's talking about the guy who sows or the farmer. He puts in the stickle because the harvest has come. I'll talk about that in a moment, about the sickle in a moment here. Notice the harvest doesn't come together by itself. The seed didn't jump out there by itself and said, I'm just going to just grow myself here. No, it needed the farmer to go out there and do some stuff, prepare everything for that seed to go in. And then he just didn't leave it there. He was doing something to help that thing to come back. Whenever we plant seed, how many of us actually say, thank God, I sowed, Lord, I want to thank you for that seed I sowed. I just want to praise you right now and shower this seed with thanksgiving and water it in Jesus' name. I want to thank you, devil, you're a liar, that my seed is coming back to me in the name of Jesus. Continue to praise him. There's a lot of people that think this automatically think this. I tithe and I give offerings and that's it. That's not how it works, folks. Amen. You have to do that. Just as much as the guy has to prepare this, prepare the ground. It's just not automatic. There's people that have tithed and sowed seed, and nothing. They've never got. They still wonder why didn't I get anything out of it? There's some other processes that have to be done when a person has to do all this stuff. See, more than just one thing here. So, it is God Himself who ordained that the seed should come and bring forth. He made it this way right from the beginning about seed time and harvest. You know, the scripture says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, seed time and harvest will never cease. Cold and heat will never cease. Night and day will never cease. If you have a morning, you're going to have a night. If you have a cold season, you're going to have a hot season. So this will never stop. And then so seed time and harvest will never stop. This principle will never stop, and God has arranged it this way for us to understand this. We have to obey and understand what God says about this, you know, process. It happens just the way God put it. So notice this. The harvest doesn't come, you know, into a harvest station by itself, even though God had ordained it, the seed to produce. Somebody had to sow the seed of gospel or whatever it is into the ground. In this case, you know, the farmer had to sow the seed. The garden doesn't get watered by itself. I know around here we kill lots of plants, Pastor Ken and I. We planted lots of things, but they died. We come back and next year looked at it and said, "Wonder what happened?" And we had to take the gardener lady had come and tell us, you know, you guys kill those things. It didn't say it that, like that, but, you know, it was nice and kind about it. And there's weeds everywhere. I wonder why those weeds came there. Did you put down those cloth things? I told you, oh, no, we didn't do that. Bunch of weeds, but the other plants died. So he had to take care of it. So the garden doesn't get watered by itself, and who loads the crops and puts them into the barn? And before all that, who prepared the field for it to be ready for the seed to go in? There's a lot of work in the ministry that has to be done. You know, there's things that have to be done to get the word out there. And, you know, if you get someone saved, how are you going to keep them, and how are you going to actually bring that person up and mature that person to a discipleship? Or they'll get lost, you know, in the crowded life, and they get lost into the field somewhere, and, you know, they get discouraged and not come back. So a farmer doesn't just walk around and just put seed anywhere he wants to. It's people who have to work in the field and then have to do the process of harvesting. Similarly, like this church and other churches, we have to learn how to prepare for people. Are we prepared for 1,000 people to come into the church? We don't even have enough workers for 200 people. You know, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, you know, we got a bunch of kids coming in and different ones. We need people who, you know, that they can work with the children and youth and prepare for the influx of these children. Praise God. Maybe the Lord's talking to you. We're talking about harvest this season. Notice Proverbs 4 and 4 and 5 again, New American Standard Version. He said, he becomes for that worketh with a slack hand. Do you have a slack hand tonight? You know, like that's a nice way of saying it. That means you're lazy. Okay. Well, they say, well, he's got a slack hand. We don't say that. We just say today, we say he's lazy. Nobody likes to be called lazy, but we like to be called a slack hand. That sounds like a cowboy or something. But anyway, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He that gathered in the summer is wise, a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest time is a son causes shame. So we don't want to cause shame to God, and to ourselves and to our own church. We need to get busy. Everybody wants to go to a good church. Want to belong to something successful. But how many of us want to make it successful? You know, I told a pastor, I met with two pastors. We've been working at some things, relationship in this city. And I met with the pastor yesterday, another one before that. You know, key guys that I work with. And we talked about different meetings in the city. I said, you know, hey, listen, the Lord spoke to me, dealt with me about different things, you know, about my ego, my vision, whatever I want. I said, God just said to me, listen, I want you to go to those meetings and just, I didn't ask you to prophesy and sing a song or lead the thing or run the thing. He just said to go there and be an example and go and listen and help the people. Like some people, year after year, I was going to these meetings every month, and I wasn't really, I tell the Lord, I'm not getting anything out of this thing. I'm just like the church member who comes and says in the church, like, I'm not getting anything out of this church. I'm not getting anything out of what this pastor's saying. I'm not getting, what is this church giving to me? I was being just like the member who sits in this church or another member comes and says, you know, this church is not feeding me anymore. But the Lord began to speak to me. He said, you know, I didn't ask you to do anything in that meeting. I asked you to go and just be part of that group and develop some relationship and sit down and be quiet and just smile and just be nice to those rest of those men. Because some people all the time want to go to those meetings and prophesy and pray over everybody. If they don't do it, they get mad and leave. We wonder why the churches are in a rough shape. Pretty quiet in this Pentecostal church. But I'm telling you, this is the way it is. I'm talking about harvest time. If we're going to harvest, we're going to have to learn how to get mature in our church. Amen. And not cry baby every time something doesn't go your way. Or I'm not getting anything out of this church. No. Last time we met together, the leadership, we had an article read. We said this. You know, why does the church have to give you something? You're supposed to come and give something. What are you offering? What have you been giving? And so this isn't a bad way. It works both ways. So don't say it's 4 months for harvest time. Jesus said, say not there are 4 months and the earth will bring, the harvest time will come. He said, look at your eyes. It's ready out there. Listen, people. The harvest is ready, waiting for you so that you be equipped and ready to serve the master whenever you need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You won't be afraid to say, hey, let me pray for you right now, right in your office. Or your clients or anybody like that. Not to be afraid. To say, you know what, hey, I'm one. Oh, you're one of those. Oh, yes, sir, you better believe it. You go to that church? Oh, yes, I go to that church. Jesus shows up all the time. Woo! Amen. You know, the time is now. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:2, he says, the time is now. Jesus says, at the right time I've heard you, the day of salvation, I've helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus said, the harvest is ready. It's ready. It's waiting for you right now. Just like when they prophesied to us, Brother Hagin prophesied to all you guys over there. He said, you know, the harvest is ready. They're waiting for a hungry heart right now. And lately I've been more stronger in the message and telling people, let me pray for you right now. Wherever I am, hospital, wherever, mall, whatever. This man comes up to me. I haven't been to the gym all that time, regularly all summer. A man comes up to me and says to me, and I said, hey, so how you been? You know, he looked at me. He just looked. Just really white. I mean, for a guy, for summertime, he looked really white. Right, whiter than most white people. That is really white. I mean, his hair, I mean, everything was so white. I come up to him and I said, how you been? He said, oh, man, I've been sick. I said, oh, yeah. So, he said, I've had prostate cancer. I had stuff removed. So that's not good. I said, you know, let me just pray for you. This came out of my mouth. I'll pray for you right now. I said, Jesus will heal you. And then we need to be bold and just say, let's pray for you right now. You know, we don't have to know how it's going to work. We just say, you know, you don't have to pray like a strong prayer. You know, like sometimes when the Pentecostal prays, we scare everybody first. I remember as a little boy watching a Pentecostal man come to our reserve, to my little community, Suckle Creek, and they start praying for people. They start shaking and everything. They looked like they were possessed. And I said, I'm out of here. Amen. And they kept shaking and shaking and shaking. And it frightened me. I saw, you know, my grandmother was just taking it, you know, just, you know. But yeah, I was just to say, I'll just pray for you. I don't have to shake or roll or anything. I just said, thank God. Just one touch of the hand, praise the Lord. I just say, thank, be blessed. That's all you have to say. In the name of Jesus, can I pray for you? He said, oh yeah. So you don't have to go into some kind of a cataclysmic, whatever you have to go through to pray for somebody, and sort of act all weird and everything. Start prophesying and whatever. Just say, you know, just touch people. Just pray for them. Say, thank God, bless you in Jesus' name. Jesus said, now is the day of salvation. If we really believe that, if it's now, then we can actually minister. Just like Jesus said, go and lay hands on the sick. So he's referring to harvest time when he's saying all these things. We should be being prepared through study and training and concentrating of leading of the Holy Spirit in wherever he wants us to go. Every day, say, God, is there somebody you want me to lead today? I'm going to yield to you. Is there somebody going to die? I want to pray for that person. Don't push it off any longer. People are dying. People are desperate. People need to hear what you know. And what you've experienced, and you need to tell them when you got saved, what it was like for you when you got saved. You know, tell them how God touched you. And when you start talking about it, the more you talk about it, the more real it becomes for you. Just don't wait for somebody's opportunity. Go and look for somebody in the mall. Tell them, let me tell you what happened to me. He said, you told me that 5 times already. Okay, let me tell you again. You know, let me just say, you know, we need to pray for God to open doors. How many believe that God will open a door for you right now? How many believe that the harvest is open right now? And he will open specific doors for you right now. If we would just pray and believe God. Jesus has opened doors for us. He said, go forth to preach. If he said, go forth, then he's opened something for us. Jesus said, the harvest is not ready. Here's what Paul said with his companions concerning spreading the good news to the Gentile world, because we may think sometimes, many times, that people are not ready and they're not willing to hear the good news that you have. And many times we hesitate because we fear being rejected. Oh, I'm so happy that someone wasn't fearful when they shared the gospel with me. They were not ashamed to stop in an office downtown Port Arthur and began to pray with me right in that office and prayed with me. And it put something in me. If that guy can do that here, so can I. And immediately after I got born again, I began to share. I had my Pentecostal experience, spoke in tongues. People said I couldn't have it. Now you had it. And so I went and I began to tell people what I had. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I began to lay hands on the people, and lo and behold, people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was not even a minister. They started speaking in tongues, and I said, "Woo, that works. Thank God." So I'm happy because of that. And Jesus, Jesus was a man who was rejected. If he's rejected, will be rejected. Paul said this. He said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. God opens doors. God will open a door for you to preach the gospel. And sometimes we don't even remember it because it's taking away time from the television or taking time for your friend or your best thing that you want to do, and he wants to open a door, and he's interfering with your entertainment time. Sometimes it happens. I remember Lynette Hagin, you know, she's in the ministry. And she said, I got to go to the mall and have to go buy these things really quickly. I'm busy at a meeting. I'm busy doing my meeting over here. You know, and then the Lord said to him, listen, you know, this lady stopped her and said, hey, you're Lynette Hagin. Yeah, okay, you know, I want to ask you a question. And she's trying to push her away. She said, you know what, I'm going to have to go to this meeting. And the Lord quickened her and said, listen, this is an assignment for you. I'm asking you to drop what you're doing there and talk to that person. No, I'm too important. I got a meeting to go to. Just like when I got a call this morning, they asked me to come to do a funeral. They said, you know, hey, I'm at a meeting. I've got all these meetings going on here. Besides that, I don't want to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning again and drive there for 3 hours and come back. I know what it's like to come back and then come back the whole evening for meetings. I tried to get out of it. Don't look at me in a tone of voice, because I know some of you have done the same thing. Drive over there and then try to fight off moose on the highway and try to get back here in time, you know. Anyway, I said, okay, listen. I remember, you know, a man said to me, you know, anything you wait for 24 hours. I said, I'll call you 24 hours. He said, I'll call you 10 in the morning. They called me 10 in the morning. So what's going on? I said, oh, no, I'm busy here. Let me just call somebody. Give me 1 hour. So I called my staff. I called my office. I said, you know, I'm trying to get this message ready for tonight. I need a conference with you right away. And, Pastor Ken answered the phone. I said, get the staff together. Say, I'll be conference call. Then I listened to the phone on the phone, and that crazy sound on the phone, we got to get that out of there. I don't know what it is. It's like the Pied Piper or something. But anyway, and then Kendra comes on. She said, hello. I said, okay. I start sharing everything with Kendra. I said, what did those other guys say? He said, there's no other guys here. I said, I told Pastor Ken I want to talk to y'all. I said, I guess you're my staff then. So anyway, he said, I'll go get the other guys. So we talked a little bit and talked about that. So I said, okay, listen, I got to go to this funeral they want me to do. I said, there's other ministers there. He said, no, but the family wants you. You know, I started to, you know, you started to feel special, even though you have to drive like 700 hours without any sleep, you know. It's a good way to get somebody going, right? You make them feel good, and then you ask them something, you know. You know, honey, you know how much I love you. Oh, what's happening next? But anyway, you know, so I'm going to drive there for the 11 o'clock service Friday morning. So I'm looking for a singer. I said, I need a singer. Somebody need to sing a song. I asked, you know, where is this thing? They didn't tell me where it was. What am I supposed to do? Guess? Is there any song? Is anybody singing a song? What do we have to do here? But anyways, Pastor Glenn called me. I said, hey, can you sing? He can't sing. He said, he's got nothing. He's got nobody. So, I said, you know, at least let me ride with somebody so I can write down some sermon notes at least all the way there. So I'm going to have to write with my foot, dry with my hands, I guess. God can open doors. He can open up opportunities for us. We need to believe what Jesus said, the harvest is ready. It's ready right now. As soon as you walk out the door, you need to be ready to spread the gospel somehow, some way. And he might interrupt your business meeting. He might interrupt a lot of things. I remember Brother Moore, you know, Pastor Moore, he said, I'm teaching healing school, and healing school is an hour session. And so we get all these businessmen come in there, you know, tell them, teach me about healing, you know, because a lot of us are sick. And he said, they just want you to feed them right away, whatever, and just run back out, like a quick place, like a quick driving. He said, today, we're not teaching anything. We're just going to just sit here and sit in the presence of the Lord. And everybody's looking at him going, you know. So we need, sometimes we're so quick with different things. So God can open up an opportunity. Jesus said in Revelation 3:8, he said, I have set before you an open door and no man can shut it. Because, you know, when Jesus is leading and when he opens the door, nobody's going to shut it. Amen. No one can shut the door God opens for you. And also that he'll send angels to help you. You don't have to see them, but you know they're there to help you. The Message Bible of Hebrews 1:14 says that angels are sent to help out those lined up to receive salvation. The sender and the receiver are going to get help from angels when we pray and believe God for those processes to happen. God can even send two angels, three angels. The Bible says in Acts 5:19, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought Peter and them forth out of the trouble they were in. You've heard Mark Davey talk about some stories. He said, "I'm preaching in this part of Africa, North Africa, and I went to Africa and I'm looking these underground churches, right? This is a Muslim country, so he's out there looking around and he didn't know where to go. Where to find this person? He was looking for this person that's supposed to meet him. And suddenly, so this person shows up and said, "Listen, I know who you're looking for. If you would come with me, follow me, I'll take you there." Now he's thinking this. Here's what he thought right away: this guy is going to ambush me. He's setting me up. He's probably one of those people. He's probably going to pull out a machete any time now and get a hold of me. Whatever he's in his mind, see, he thinks. So this guy shows up. He says, "Follow me." So he gets on this taxi, and they went driving different places, and gets off. And you know how these movies are. You kind of run around with taxis and run around all these places, and jump up and get into another one and run over here. And finally, they got to this place. He said, "I know who you were looking for." He says, "You're looking for these people, this church, right? This pastor, and so forth." He said, "Yeah, I'm going." Bang! They went on this little journey. And soon as he got to this place, he said, the guy just disappears in front of their eyes. I mean, an angel just came and helped him find where he's supposed to go. You can hardly believe those stories. You know, last time we met with Pastor Rick here, and I remember Pastor Rick telling me about the time he wanted to quit ministry, and Jesus gave him this vision about what he wanted him to do. And he told it very shortly. You know, just recently, one of my friends over in Ottawa had this disease that was killing him. He was about to die. And just a few years ago, and Jesus appeared to him in a vision and said to him that he's going to keep him alive and he should live, and he wanted him to have his message for Canada. And God kept him, healed him. I mean, everything, he just jumped out of his bed, but there was a process. Even though Jesus appeared to him, there was a process for him to get out of that bed. Same with Brother Hagin when he had that experience. And he didn't just jump out of bed right away. There was a process for him to get out of that bed. He was still weak in bed when he was healed. You know? And I was thinking about Pastor Rick last time we met over here for our leadership meeting just down in the the hall here we have. He told us about that he told us that Jesus took him to heaven and showed them some things that he wanted them to know, that what he had to do in Canada. And showed them these certain functions he had to do. How many people know, I'm not sure how many times these guys have been attacked personally. And their families, trying to take them out of the ministry, trying to discourage them. He was so discouraged that one day he said, "I'm not going to go to," he told us one time, he's not going to go to church. And his son said to him, "Dad, you told us about this gospel. You said, get up there and force yourself, listen to your own preaching." Sometimes we have to listen to our own preaching. The things that you encourage other people to do, you should do yourself. And so forth. So we see the book of Peter, or the book of Acts, we see Peter released through the prayers of the church. that prayer was made, the Bible says, without ceasing the church for him. And an angel of the Lord came. That's Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 7. The angel of the Lord came and released him out of that situation. So angels are there to help us if we need it. If we don't need it, there won't be an angel there for you. There are angels there all the time, but you won't see them. Not as dramatic as this, because this affected the whole world, this situation right here. Now, your situation might not affect your whole world, maybe just a few people, and thank God we can still believe no matter what happens. And he said in there that his angel had delivered me out of the hand of Herod. And those people there in chapter 12, 12 verses 5 to 16, they were praying for Peter, and Peter was released with an angel sent to prison, let him out of prison, and he's knocking at the door where they were having a prayer meeting. And Rhoda came to the door, a lady named Rhoda. Y'all remember Rhoda? And she knocks at the door and said, that sounds like Peter. And Peter was at the door. She couldn't believe it. She got so excited, she ran back to the people and said, hey, Peter's at the door. He said, you got to be kidding. They were not even believing their own prayer. And so that's what happens to people sometimes. When God answers their prayer, they don't even believe it. They don't believe that this is happening. It's amazing what happens. I've had experiences in the spirit that when I came back to it, I thought it didn't really happen. And not only that, but the devil came to me and said, no, that didn't really happen. Because you're not in the flesh having this experience. You're in the spirit. So the door of faith will open for us if we begin to believe God. Now, we got to get an intercession. We got to pray. We got to do those things. I want to go down to my message over here a little quicker so that we can close this session tonight. So, we need to do some things. The Bible says in Matthew 9:38 that we pray for the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. We need to pray. Every one of us can pray to send forth laborers into the harvest. We're harvesting. We need harvesters. We need laborers to harvest people. So we need to get into the prayer and ask God to help us because we do have an opponent. Satan is the opponent trying to stop us. He's doing everything he can night and day to discourage you from walking with God. He says, oh, you're too busy. Now you'll get too tired. You'll get all burnt out. You don't have enough money. You don't have resources. He'll tell you all things, and he'll convince you right out of serving God. And many have because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And they're running around wondering what they're supposed to do when God has opened several doors for them already and many opportunities missed since then, that time. So we need to pray against this guy that he's stopping people from going through. But I know there's something that we have to do today. Sometimes we do have to take a risk. Most of the time you'll have to take a risk when taking the gospel to the world, sharing the good news. Sometimes at work, your friends, family, and everyone will not understand you, and some will maybe shun you from time to time until they get used to it that you're not actually insane, that you actually are saved, and that you're okay. But don't be discouraged by it. I remember when I got born again, my mom, we come from a strong Catholic family background, and we went to church every Sunday. And when I got born again, they thought I was crazy. And I would share with my mother, because she loved the Pope and all that, and prayed to Mary and everything. And I would tell her about the gospel. She just didn't understand it. And they thought I was crazy. My friends thought I was crazy. No, you're one of these diehard AA members, and you preach that, and now you're born again. Now this is worse than ever before now. And so, they might think you're crazy. And maybe some of you were crazy before. Thank God you're not doing the same things you did before. People may laugh at you. They may call you names. They might call you, so-and-so. And, you know, even Jesus' siblings called him crazy. They said, you know, that Jesus casting devils out, the Jewish people said, no, this guy is, he's got a devil in him. That's how he's doing this stuff. You know, so people sometimes, in Acts 15, the Bible says in verse 27, Paul talks about these men, that they risked their life or hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord. Sometimes we do have to take risks to be counted on as God's servant. You might lose a few friends, so you know what? Maybe they're not your true friends anyway. The greatest risk of sharing the gospel is being rejected, and not everyone will receive it. Not everyone will believe your report, just like Isaiah 53:1 says that who has believed our report? Who's going to believe? There's somebody, but somebody will believe you. They'll ridicule you no matter what. And they'll call preaching the gospel foolishness, as the Bible says over here. Paul calls it the foolishness of the preaching the gospel in 1 Corinthians 12, 21, 25. He says that's a foolish thing. To preach the gospel is a foolish thing. That's what people say. You're a fool, and what you're doing is foolish. So, in the end, God has prepared a harvest season, and a harvesting is right now. It's happening right now. The season is now upon us right now, that our laborers and the work that is set before us must be harvested, and there's people all around this area here that need to be saved and need to come into the kingdom of God. We have inherited previous laborers' work that have done works before us. There was people who've been praying for years and years and years. There's people who've been giving money and having church in this city. There's churches that have been here for 100 years, 150 years in this city right now that's been preaching the gospel. The Bible says that we will inherit their labor. If you don't believe me, check the Bible. Let's go John 4, 35 and 38. The American Standard says again, say not there are 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they're white and ready for harvest. He that reapeth receive wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal. And he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. For there is this saying true. One sows and another reap. I sent you to reap whereon you have not labored. Others have labored and you are entered into their labor. I want you to know that people have prepared for you to harvest wherever you never worked before. You have never preached the gospel to those people, but God has already prepared a way for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be ready and willing to do that. Jesus said it. People have gone before you to preach the gospel and heard the message. Now all you have to do is say, let's pray in the name of Jesus, receive Jesus Christ. And you say, okay, I'm ready. Some will not receive it. Just like someone, not everybody will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of them will not receive the healing power of God. But some will. Some are ready. Say, yeah, I'm ready. Especially when people are really sick. Sometimes they say, so where do I begin as we close? Number one, we need to ask God for wisdom. James 5 says, let a man ask God wisdom for anything that he wants to do. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. James 5. James says, ask God for wisdom concerning anything. God wants us to be prepared for the work that he has for us to do. He doesn't want you or I to go into a situation unprepared, uneducated about what we're to face. When you are prepared, you are not afraid. I said, when you're prepared, you are not afraid. That's a good status for your Facebook tonight. When you're prepared, I know when I'm prepared, I'm not afraid to do what I'm supposed to do. The fighter goes out to the ring. He's not afraid. He's ready to go. He's prepared. The bingo player, he'll go, no, that's not the bingo player. No. God does not want you and I to go into that situation unprepared. It's good to have awareness and training. We all need to know how to respond to people when witnessing, when they don't want to, you whatever. We need to understand sometimes and respect people and say, listen, I don't want to, I'm not ready. You just say, okay, but I'm praying for you. Number two, pray for boldness. Ephesians 5, 8, and 9 says, Paul says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. Then he says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. There's a certain way God wants you to approach this thing. And this is not done just readily just because you read the scripture. It's done as you study and prepare yourself, then you know what this means. You know, like people just read the scripture, oh, yeah, I'm ready right now. No, there is a preparation. They were bold because they were being prepared. Number three, pray for the gifts of the Spirit to manifest. As in Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 30. And he said, now behold their threatenings and grant to your servant that with all boldness I may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal. That's the healing anointing. That's the gift of the Spirit. That signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with great boldness. Acts 4, 29 to 30. That's the same thing. And then you see this same thing over there in Acts 5, 12. The Bible says, with many signs and wonders, God gave them apostles' witness as a result of this prayer. Four, pray that God would lead you to somebody who is willing and ready to hear you, that is prepared already. Because Jesus already said the harvest is ready, so he wants you to make that dot connection. There's somebody ready for you. God has ordained for you to meet somebody today. We have to believe that because Jesus said so. In Acts chapter 8, Philip was led to an official of the government, and he preached the gospel because that man was searching. He was ready and willing to hear the gospel. He was ready. The harvest was ready. Acts number 6 and James 5, it mentions the reign of the Spirit of God. It says in here in the James 5, 7 and 8, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. The precious fruit of the earth is those that will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God is waiting for us to harvest those people. He said he had a long patience for it, and until he received the early and latter rain. He's talking about the moving of the Spirit. The moving of the Spirit is the early latter rain, is the moving of the Spirit. That's the combined effort of all the moving of the Spirit of the different revivals that's going on. There'll be a revival. I heard different prophecies that there'll be a revival of the Spirit coming, that it will shake cities and different things that's going on right now, that people come to God. It takes the rain to do that of the Spirit. Thank God. So God promised a mighty move of God, a combined power of previous times in history where God moved and many got saved. If we check out history, we'll see those actual things. We studied that in Bible school. We studied the different revivals and how people came to Jesus Christ. Number seven and last, and be ready and be willing to go become involved in everything at the local church level, in doing whatever it is to save souls or harvest the souls. We need the moving of the Spirit, and we need the moving of the church. Like Brother Pastor Hagin used to tell us, the natural and the supernatural working together make an explosive force for God. We need the Spirit and the people of God moving together, getting the harvest. Thank you, Lord God. What do you say? We start harvesting right now, praise God. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand up and we close the service. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have the musicians, singers. Glory to God. God is so good. Everybody say, God is so good. Now, we know, we've heard the message of harvesting. We know that there is a time God is preparing you, or he has already prepared for you to reach out and get people born again, get people saved. However way he leads you, it could be that you might be praying for somebody in the hospital. God is sending you to hospital. God is sending you to a friend of yours that, hey, maybe God will prompt you. Hey, phone this friend of yours you haven't talked to for a long time. Only you know what God has told you. There are people that are waiting right now. Let's bow our head for a second. Father, let's bow our heads for a second. I want you to think and reflect in a moment if there's any part of this service that God spoke to you. Sometimes it's just so small that you forget or just pass it off that God wasn't talking to you. In your heart, there needs to be a more diligent effort on your part to step up to the plate and say, God, you've been talking to me all along. I've not been sensitive to the fact that you spoke to me. I was afraid. I haven't really been as diligent. So each of us here tonight can pray the prayer of consecration as we had earlier and pray again. Say, God, you know, I'm ready. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing. Put out that effort. Maybe you call me to join in to a fellowship, to work in the ministry, to serve. Maybe it's Bible school. I don't know. However God's preparing you. Maybe he's shown you many ways that you've skipped out and then God's time and time been working at you. If you feel some kind of guilt, there's no condemnation. Sometimes we condemn ourselves. The Holy Spirit never condemns anybody. And if you feel condemned, it's because your own spirit condemns you, the Bible says, not the Holy Spirit. He's never going to make you shy. He's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to make you feel unworthy. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love those people that he loves, that he died for. They haven't had a chance to hear the gospel. He wants you to be bold and unabashful, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants you to know. He wants you to know that tonight, that he loves you, cares for you. He's prepared a way for you. He's not making it hard. The Bible says, the gospel is easy. My burden is light. It's easy. And he wants you to put that on over your, the teaching mantle over on your back. And he'll teach you, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to reach someone in the way that he's told you, a unique way. But also, there's other things he wants you to do. He wants you to be trained. You need to be bold because the devil will try to push you aside and make you feel uncomfortable and tell you, you know, you're crazy, you're foolish. Who do you think you are? They told Jesus, that's Jesus over there. He's just a carpenter. What does he know? And he'll come and intimidate you and work on you. And we need to understand that we need to be prepared for those kinds of talk that the devil puts at you. He gives you trash talk, tells you you're unworthy. You shouldn't be doing that. You're unworthy to carry the gospel. No, that's not right. God wants you. He loves you. He wants you. Got a message. You got a message to share. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to ask you right now, if that's you, you want to make a repentant effort to God and say, God, I'm making a real effort today.